Live from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show. With tonight's guest, Mexican-American entrepreneur and film producer, Cristiano Bettler. And performance guest, Alyosha Barriero. I am Mark Lejeure, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Well, as fate would have it, as happens so often on our show, I got an email from our previous guest, actually a previous guest from long time ago, our show number 310, and this today is our show 807. So a while back, I'm on his email list, and every week or so, he sends out an email from my heart. That's how he does it. It's Stephen Lindstedt, and he's got a Scalar Heart Connection, and the email said this: Dear Filippo, embrace the adventure of expanding your conscious awareness. As you shift your perspective, you'll discover new truths and beliefs. It takes courage, especially if heights make your heart flutter. But remember, change is where the magic happens. Love your heart. Well, I thought this is perfect for our show today. And I not only wanted to read it, but use it as a preface for the conversation that we will eventually have with our guest and even our performance guest, wherein so often we live in, our guest would say, an echo chamber where we kind of share our thoughts and we hear them right back at us from people around us. And not that there's anything wrong with that, and that can serve. Sometimes having information come from outside that box, as our guest would say, is very helpful. So some people have said Greek chorus. Have you heard of this, the Greek chorus? The Greek chorus is something that it's a device used in theatrics back in the days of the Greeks, with the Greek plays, and still today when they do somebody does a production of a Greek play, there'll be like 10, 12, whatever people come on stage and tell us through dance or singing or speaking what's happening on stage or what the character is feeling or what should happen to the character or something like that. And it gets sometimes repeated, and basically it's kind of telling you the same thing that you kind of already knew. And if you didn't figure it out, there it is. So with our apps today and all the different things that we use, and some of us keep a close, tight circle of friends, we get to share some of the same ideas, which is great, and hear some of the same ideas. But sometimes that starts to get stagnant. And our guest has a philosophy around this that he has gone on to develop an app where it can help us get out of the box or help us use the box to our benefit at times when we need it. It's quite brilliant, actually. The app is coming soon, but the conversation is important to have now, because this is a philosophy that he has pretty much discovered, in a sense. We'll talk about that. And it is one that I've gotten to enjoy knowing our guest, but we thought, and Mark as well, all of us actually, and we thought, let's have this conversation, because app or no app, and someday there'll be an app, but in the meantime, we need this now.
Well, I think it's an exciting conversation. This is something that we have been about. And when we first got together, I used to talk about how different we were, even though we were so aligned, and I compared it to RGB, red, green, and blue light. Comes together to make white light. But the difference was we came from completely different spectrums or views or, you know, opinions. And I think that's really benefited us to not be in the box. And some would say maybe we've been able to give each other a little bit more oomph in our lives.
Yeah, well, interestingly enough, the Title of this episode is Getting the Oomph Back into Your Life. So our guest is many things, but for tonight, he's our interview guest as a Mexican-American entrepreneur and film producer, Christian E. Bettler. I know him as Cristiano. Welcome, Cristiano, to the Life Changer Show.
Gracias, Filippo. Such a pleasure to be here. Eh? Thank you, Filippo and Mark.
It's such a pleasure to have you on the show and getting to share with our audience all that we've gotten to enjoy you and everything you bring to every conversation. But before we get into what you bring to conversations, you today is very particular because today is Mexican Independence Day. Yesterday and today, you said, right?
Que viva México. 2 days in a row, indeed. 15th, it starts at 15th at midnight. Obviously, people start partying and celebrating, you know, 24, 48 hours before. And the celebrations go throughout the end of the 16th.
Wow. And here you are with us instead of celebrating. So thank you. In a sense, this is a way of celebrating because let's talk about that just for a moment, because a lot of people know of Cinco de Mayo, but I do know, and I asked you and you said, I'll let you say what you said, but I said, this is more important than Cinco de Mayo, right?
Look, first of all, I am celebrating, and just being with you guys is part of that celebration. And the topic that we're going to cover is part of honoring and expressing that love and deep, deep respect and gratitude that I have for the Mexican territory. So what an honor to do it together. And yes, you know, this holiday, symbolically, I think it's in my opinion, my book, the most important one of Mexico, way more important than the 5th of Cinco de Mayo. I think it would be like almost, it's funny living in the US and having encountered that Americans think that Cinco de Mayo is the holiday, right? It would be the equivalent of somebody from Iowa moving to Mexico and finding out that they think that Unit Day is the main holiday, more important than 4th of July something like that. Okay. But every holiday is important, right? And look, it's just, that is the tradition. The tradition is the 15th and 16th of September.
So this does come into play because I've gotten to experience you in different ways as a friend and also as a business partner on many projects. And you bring ideas and you also bring like almost like a confusion at a certain point, or like I'm like, whoa, where is he coming from? And then after we get into it, like we're figuring, and then all of a sudden we land on someplace completely different. And I thought, how did he do that? And I do that too, but I don't do it like he does. So what are we talking about?
I think you're talking about oomphing.
It's oomphing.
I think in every interaction, and Filippo, thank you for recognizing that magic that happens sometimes when we go deep into conversation and somebody throws a curveball or, you know, just throws a pass out of nowhere. And then the question is, what do you do with that, with the ball that is right on your feet? Do you dance with it? Do you do a chilena? Do you score a goal? Do you pass it back? It's, you know, I like to remind myself that life, let's not forget that life is more than anything, a dance, a loving dance, a dance, the love dance. And it's a profound, profound game. When I start getting a little too serious about myself or about life, it's something that always helps me come back to myself, no? And I think with interactions and conversations with close friends and cool people that oomph you along the way, it's really the moments that are a little bit off script, more than the you know, the scripted conversations per se, or the safe conversations. And I feel like in this modern world of where we are trying to, you know, with the amazing progress we're doing with technology and communications and the way we connect online, and we're trying to control that in the most effective, productive, which is a dangerous or it's a, what's the word I'm looking for? It's una trampa. How do you say trampa in Spanish? It can be a trap. Mm-hmm. Productive as a word, it's a bit of a trap because we all want to be more productive, but what do we lose on the way for that, right? Mm. So as we build all these, as we optimize all these platforms and systems, you know, to be efficient, another trappy word, productive, and if it tends to become more scripted and to become devoid of other things that are like spontaneity, chaos, the element of surprise, mm. right? Mm. And so I think it's an interesting time that right now to be involved in technology, because on one hand, we're, you know, as humanity, we're falling in love with everything that is possible in this digital space. And on the other hand, there's a lot of people that grew up with the analog, in the analog universe, right, pre-internet, and were old enough to experience a couple of decades of that, and then have gradually experienced the migration to the digital space, and they're trying to find the balance a bit, or at least recover what is of essence, that we should not forget about the analog world.
Mm. Interesting. You know, talk about art imitating life or life imitating art, in this case, life imitating technology, or the other way around. Oh. You had to actually get out, not that you had to get out, but you were out of the experience of the territory of Mexico, as you were saying, and you were in a completely different country and culture, and it was then that you realized something about that you loved about and wanted to bring into your experience from Mexico, right?
Mm, yeah. No, thank you for mentioning that, because I mean, look, especially the fact that it's Mexican Independence Day, right? Obviously, I think everybody can relate that when they travel, when they move to a new country, that's when you start getting the perspective and really appreciating what you had before, right? Or you have a fresh appreciation for it. And I've had the luck or honor to have lived in a few different countries in Europe and in Indonesia. And every country, right? Every country that we experience, it brings its own. It's kind of like a flower. It has its own essence. Its own. It's optimized for a certain aspect of life, better or worse than others. So every country, as we know, in culture, is unique and beautiful and necessary. It's part of the whole, that, right, that we call our planet. It's this living organism. The thing about Mexico that really, it surprises me, because the longer, it's something that I gradually continue to realize or to discover or to become fully aware of what it is. Like, it's just like, it goes deeper. What is it about Mexico that is so, so oomphy, so has that quality to really kind of like grounds you always kind of like in this heart chakra, visceral type of territory, or inner landscape. I think everyone that goes to Mexico, the first thing that they say, or people that work with people from Mexico, people that appreciate the country, they always say it's, you know, the heart of the people, the laughter, they have a hard time putting a word to it, right? Mm. And I think I think it has a combination. It's a combination of obviously the people, the culture, but I think obviously it's deeply intertwined with the frequency of the territory, of the land, of physically Earth, of that part of the planet. Mm. I think, you know, every land is a frequency, and of course every language is a frequency. That's why when we speak a different language, we tune into a different frequency. And I think the frequency of Mexico is just simply a very heart-centered kind of jokester card archetype, that it's within that spontaneous, semi-chaotic, heartfelt experience that the country works, even though logically you wouldn't think that it should work. Right? And that's what I enjoy, and that's what nourishes me more than anything when I go back, which I try to do as often as possible, and because it brings me back to this, to really feeling things again versus saying things and thinking. It's almost like hyperlinking them to a moment that you felt it, but now you're just saying it. So it's a very visceral experience, and that's what makes it so fresh and fun.
You have lived many life experiences. Obviously, now you're a husband and a father, and you've always been a businessman. But you've also lived in...
And a lover. Okay. Very important.
And you have lived in different parts of the world, and you've also lived through many things that you did, like movies. You've lived through the movies by creating them as not only an entrepreneur but a film producer and distributor, and movies like The End of Poverty, Pirate for the Sea, the Big Fix, Down to Earth, Hecho in Mexico, and Water Wars. That you have experienced through those films people's feelings, people's expressions, and taken so much life in. And I think it's interesting that you've focused on this aspect for your Oomph technology of supporting us when we need it, and also taking us out of the box when we need that too.
Yeah, for me, the magic of the arts, and whether it's music or obviously films, poetry, any painting, sculpture, I think the magic of the arts, almost as an archetype, if the arts would have, like, you know, an archetypal essence, is that they have the ability to get us into out of the current box that we're in. It gives, they become catalysts a lot of the times to ignite us to a new frame of mind, to a fresh perspective, to an aha moment, and really brings you back to life again, right? I think that is one of the roles that arts play as a medium, as a format, as an entity. It's an entity, right? It's a spirit, and something that just always surprised me. I mean, first of all, I fell in love with the arts because of that reason. It's something that, I mean, to say that it fulfills you or that it gives, it's the gift that continues giving, is an understatement. That's what music, that's why going to a concert is so refreshing, right? It makes you leave, it's a resurrection almost. You leave the old stale behind, and you are rebirthed, and you come out again from your shelf, right? You break down the armor and what's not needed anymore, we shed. But so I was always surprised why, you know, the internet being such a promising just vision when we started, like first started understanding what would be everything we would be capable of, you know, as the internet would develop. Through the years, it surprised me more and more that having everything at your fingertips, which seems like a great thing, right? Why over time did it become more hard and harder to find the moments and the content that has that quality that I describe as oomph, that ignites you, that fires up your soul, that takes you out of the box, as you say, Filippo. So I've always been fascinated with that idea, with that concept of how can we optimize for that? Because the more I looked into it, I started realizing, well, es que the thinking behind most of the technologies and platforms that we use today, every day, is optimized exactly for the opposite, which is to keep you in a box, in your profile, in your hashtags, in your silos, categories, and trying to like, just trying to keep you as well identified as possible.
Cristiano, because
But
that's where the
I don't
money
want to be
is.
predictable. I mean, I rather not. And there's a moment to be predictable. There's moments in life for everything. And I'm not saying, like as you said at the beginning, it's not about good and bad. It's about having both and not forgetting about the other, which is really which is the baseline per se, going back to the analog world. So yeah, I'm very passionate about optimizing for the things that get you out of the box.
So,
I love
Cristiano,
getting out of the box. I
it's
think it's those are the most memorable and fun moments in my experience.
Cristiano, it sounds like the way you were describing the technology, it's where the money is, but not necessarily where the magic is. And that's what you are looking to optimize for that.
Sorry, Filippo, I lost you for the last 10 seconds.
So
Apologize.
the way you were describing it, it sounds like it's optimized. The systems today have been optimized to where the money is, but not to where the magic is.
Yeah, I would say that is correct, and I understand. I mean, I sympathize completely why things are being built, and it's great what we have been able to build so far and where we're at. I just think it's time to really pay attention to the other side of the coin.
So, speaking of the other side of the coin, actually, because I like how you speak of the other side of the coin, what is that?
I love this. No, Filippo, don't say no more. It's que that is the question always, because it's not something that wants to be identified and wants to be perfectly defined. Because if you define it's almost like if you try to catch it, it's quicksand in your hands. It's still by its essence, its very essence is to be maybe you don't say that, but uncatchable, like not to be catched, right? So the way I like to talk about it is, you know, first of all, I think we all know when somebody, like, it's actually not, forget knowing, scratch that. It becomes very obvious when someone is in the present moment, right? When somebody is not looking to fulfill an expectation or a goal or wanting to be perceived a certain way.
Or
Like, I
selling
think,
you.
or selling you, thank you. Because I think that that's one of the predominant feelings that we get these days online. It's just like everyone you're connected to, it feels like they're trying to sell you on something, right? There's a beautiful quote. It's either selling or this argumentative, you know, down spiral essence of the where the connections lead, right? Or conversations. There's a great quote. I forget who said it, but something along the lines of, have you ever noticed how difficult it is to argue with someone who is not obsessed with being right? And I think that is just one, being right or being the best or being the most something, fill the box. That is one of those traps that stop allowing us to be in the present moment and stop allowing us to bring our inner rock star per se, right? So, I for me, a Nuuv moment, whether it's in a conversation, whether it's in a moment in a concert, in a spontaneous encounter on the street, or when I'm watching or hear listening to a podcast or watching a documentary, it's one of those moments that whether they were scripted or unscripted, it doesn't matter. They felt so real and they captured something so essentially dear to your heart and to your soul and to your mind, right? And we're naturally humans. Let's please not forget this. And this is a reminder to myself because this whole oomph thing is almost, like I said, by design, meant to be forgotten, just so that you can at some point remember it again and have that remembrance of like, ah, oh, I forgot again. It's like meditation, right? Like, oh, I got lost in the mind again, and I'm back. And I actually lost my train of thought with
Yeah, perfect. Case in point. I love
Case in
it.
point, right? No, I know where I was heading with this. It's these oomph moments, they're very, we are naturally wired to recognize them because that person saying that thing or acting that scene or coming up with that riff in music, you can feel beyond their, you can feel it. You know that they're feeling what you're feeling. And that is just when the other realm or the next layer of communication and connection naturally opens up in front of us. And every single one of us experiences this, whether it's very often or very seldom, but we all know what it is and what it feels like, and we know how to recognize it. But just for some odd reason, nothing is optimized for that. The world is optimized for likes and hearts and thumbs up. And that is great that we have that. But I do believe it's time to start optimizing for the oomph.
Speaking of likes and hearts and thumbs up, you said something a while back that really hit home with me. You said, and you can go ahead and finish this if you remember, it was something about if somebody puts up a post that hurts people or whatever it is, and they get a lot of likes, they might make money off of it or whatever it is. But the person who said, who actually uplifted somebody,
A
that
hundred
might,
percent,
yeah.
100%. So, I think we have to ask ourselves what is it that we're truly rewarding in
Yeah.
the online world and in the real world, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's becoming, actually, I'll tell you a funny story. Like, actually, this happened this weekend. I'm hanging out, I'm taking my son and his best friend for an adventure day, right? And as boys do, 8-year-old boys, they start getting competitive. They start getting a little bit into, they're having the best time, their oomphing. Talk about recognizing when somebody's in the oomph zone. I mean, kids, right? They're
Yeah.
just,
Yeah.
they're in it. But at some point, the competitive nature starts to take over and they start getting, friction starts building up, right? So we had one of those moments, driving back in the car after a long day, and they were really trying to be like, oh, I got the best, I got the most points, I got the best drink, I ordered the best ice cream, like who ordered, I got the best toy, that kind of stuff, right? And I could feel the tension a bit, and I just asked him while we were driving back, I said something along the lines of, at some point, boys, you're gonna have to ask yourself if you rather be number one, or if you rather keep the friendship of your best friend, because that's what it kind of comes to at some point, right? And then so they really took it at heart. I could see through the rearview mirror, kind of like how they were just kind of like, these kids get it, kids get it, kids get what they're struggling with, And then I said, I asked, I it occurred to me, and I was like, why is being the best or being number one so important? And without missing a beat, my son's friend says, because it's fun, because it's the most fun. And right there, I was like, whoa, yeah, good argument. It is the most fun. And then I asked, why is it the most fun? And again, without missing the beat, my son goes, because everybody wants to be your friend. And then the other kid goes, says, yeah, like he said, he seconded what he said in a different way of saying it. He phrased it differently. He's like, yeah, you'll have every friend, like everybody will want to be your friends. And I was like, huh, isn't that interesting? Because what happens when you stop being number one, or when you're not the best anymore? Do you lose those friends? And again, there was silence, and we thought about that. And that's when I realized, like, we all want love. We all still want to get, we all want that oomph, that connection, that deep bonding of feeling understood and feeling genuinely in the moment, presently connected. We all know what that feels like. It's not what it feels most of the time online, I'll tell you that, but we all know what it feels like. But somehow, and this is me, like I'm taking responsibility for this, because this is my son. It's very easy to criticize or to say like, oh, the world should be more this, should be more that. This is a moment when I realized, like, oh, with all this consciousness and reading and deep philosophing and conscious parenting, the big term, right?
And meditation that you
And
do.
meditation, right? Surfing, right? Like, my son wants to be number one, and forget about everything else. That's the most fun. I'm like, what am I doing? But that's but it, but it, I you have to realize that at the end of the day, we after everything is said and done, and all the meditation classes are and the yoga classes finish, and we do our retreats and we talk a good talk, at the end of the day, what do we reward? Is the best, number one, more money, and that is really what's getting rewarded. So
Cristiano, thank you for sharing that story. And what are you doing? You are that moment that you shared with your son and his friend, and you shared with us. It reminds us that that's the moment where you ended up cutting through the noise. And there's so much noise about being number one and being the best and being the richest or having
And
the
having the
voice of.
most followers, and having the most
Exactly.
followers.
In a child's life and in an adult's life, and especially nowadays. So what you are saying, or what you said to your sons and his friend, and what you're saying now is about that, is about cutting through the noise, giving people an opportunity to hear truth, feel caring, and also when we trust each other, then we create that trusted space. We could slow down and actually listen to that voice that is brought in. I don't know how you do this with technology. I know you've been working very hard. However, before we only have actually a couple more minutes left, and the reason this conversation was so important, I thought that we needed to talk about this now, is because we don't think like this often enough.
No, thank you, Filippo. And look, there's more than the technology. I just want, I'll just say this quickly. It's the technology, obviously, it's plays a big role in how we're developing this, right? But it really comes down to the values, the core values, and almost like the ancient wisdom that we can rescue from what it meant to be to sit down by the fire and start and share true stories. What it means to, as you were saying, like somebody that brings anger or confusion to the tribe, and which is someone bringing anger and confusion or deception to an online space. Why do they get rewarded? Why aren't we rewarding the people that exactly bring more nourishment, that bring clarity, that help a struggling mother, that all of a sudden she gets referred five snippets of content that are optimized to get her out of that dark place that she is in? And how can we build an online community where on one hand it's not about being just do-gooders and oh, we like doing good and the other ones are not doing as good. It has nothing to do with that. It just has to do with tapping into the fun and the magic that is being oomphed and being activated like that. Naturally, when we connect to that inner rock star, we every single one of us have something of value to share and to offer, whether it comes from within us, our own creation, or something that we read, something that we watched, something that your friend said, and we're naturals at sharing oomph, and we just have to find a way how to make this party as fun or more than the other party,
Hear,
and it's a
hear.
fun ride.
Hear, hear, and to make it last more than one moment.
Eso, eso.
And so oomph.tv is where it's at or where it's going to be, and it's in the process. I feel like we'll have an opportunity to talk more about it, but it was just so important to bring this concept out now so that when the app comes out, then at least we've been hopefully starting to live and think like that. So oomph is oomph dot TV. Anything else you want to say about that real quickly before we have to go?
I'll just say that we're working with some very with some partners that we're very proud and honored to be working with, and this is being birthed as we speak. And the most important reminder is, as we started the conversation, is to when you start taking the whole thing too serious or start getting lost in the process, what we do again is reconnect on the oomph zone again and look at it from that perspective. So let's continue doing that.
And so we will, Cristiano or Christian Bettler. Thank you so much. We have other links for him. He's on LinkedIn, and we have other links for him. IMDb. You can see some of the movies that he's been a part of, or helped produce, or brought out into the world. And basically, what you're talking about is just an extension of everything that you have lived, my friend. So more power to you. And so it's going to be great. Oomph, OOMPH dot TV. Cristiano, happy Independence Day.
Huevo. Un
And
placer. Un placer, Filippo.
the placer is all ours. All the best to you and oomph.
Adios.
Adios, Christian Bettler. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Ajna, and I am becoming more and more afraid every day as the insanity in our world increases. There are daily reports of killings in our town and all over the United States. My news feed is filled with tales of horror. In the past, you shared with me that the way to happiness is through gratitude. How can I be grateful for what is going on in the world and the fear that it brings me?
My dear precious friend, as I have said many times before, as the divine children of God that we are, we co-create our reality. You are working at a job that you love. You have a wonderful relationship with your family and with your fiancé. You live in a beautiful home, drive a really nice car, and you have help with your housework. So I encourage you to exchange your thoughts of fear for thoughts of faith, love, and gratitude. What one focuses on expands, and if you fill your days with thoughts of fear, you will definitely create more things to be afraid of. I encourage you to begin and end each day with gratitude. It would be lovely if you could choose to take some time to write down a list of all of the big and little things in your life that you are grateful for. You could start your list with the ones I have mentioned, and once you start, I feel you will have a very long list of the wonderful things you have manifested in your life. So let us focus on the good in your personal world, and let us say prayers of gratitude for all of the good in other parts of the world. The more grateful one becomes, opens the doors for even more to be grateful for. I also lovingly suggest that when fear pops up about what's going on in the world, that you immediately say a prayer like this. Thank you, universe, for bringing world peace to this amazing planet. Prayers of gratitude are extremely powerful, and I fill my days with them. I look forward to see your list of wonderful things you are grateful for, and look forward to seeing the shift in you when you choose faith, love, and gratitude over fear.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, get up the oomph and write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
Nice. And we'll be right back with our performance guest, Alyosha Barreiro, here on the Life Changes Show when we come back right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and the little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We are back, and our performance guest is electronic music soundscape music artist, sound explorer, and pre-Hispanica electronica speaker. Welcome, Alyosha Barreiro, here on the Life Changes Show.
Filippo, how are you?
I am well, thank you. I want to say a shout out real quickly to Karina Velasco for introducing us to you.
Oh, she's so great. She's amazing.
She is amazing. Can't wait to interview her on the show. And speaking of amazing, I have enjoyed experiencing you on stage through videos, and there's dancing going on and music and different instruments. And you started, it seems like you came to do all of this and you're doing it. So good for you. But how did it all start for you?
How did it all start? I think it started when I was perhaps 6 years in a music salon in a high school. In a Montessori. And I just wanted to stay all day in the music room and play with sounds and bing, bing, bang, bang. And then I was 7 and I went to a book fair where I remember there was this little stand that they were making free drums. And I was obsessed that I want to make one, but there was such a big line that we were not going to do it. My mother denied, and it was almost closed. And I remember just giving her a hell of a time, like, mommy, I really want to go and make a drum. Mm. So we went and made this little clay pot drum. And from there on, I started doing my own drums and playing with all the cacerolas in my house and making my sister and my mother and all the neighbors crazy with all the banging. And I just fall in love with all this mystery that sound has in its essence. Then I started playing when I was 14. That's the first time that somebody paid me. It was when raves started in Mexico. So this English guy came to play for the first time in Mexico. He became very famous afterwards. And they paid me, I remember, 1,400 pesos the first time I played. And I remember that money, I used it. I arrived home and my mother had one of these bands. So I took the band to the supermarket and filled it up. In that time, 1,400 pesos, it was a lot of money.
Wow.
And I remember her just laughing when wow. I bought, I don't know, 40 bags of rice and beans and meat and everything. It was like, mom, this is going serious. So, well, and from there on, she was a painter. So she was not so freaked out that I was going to be a musician. And then I went to Berklee College of Music, where I studied for 6 years. And when I came back, I've been living out of music since I was 14. So very grateful and blessed that I had this opportunity to live out of my passion.
You know, like we were talking about with Cristiano earlier, you have traveled the world, you have shared your music, not only yours, but that of many other musicians that you would bring with you or accumulate at the different locations. And you experience people and music in a very different way. There's an energy, and you are actually, you take that with you. You're the one creating it as well, right?
You know, before we go into that subject, I just have to say that I was hearing to Cristiano speak before, and he was speaking about conscious parenting and all of this. So yes. Today I have 3 kids, which yes. I love deeply. And I, because I spoke with you, I organized my day and I put them to bed, and suddenly mother called, and it was a chaos in my house, and everybody woke up again. And when all this chaos was happening, I had my headphones because I wanted to be a little bit, know what they were talking about. And he was talking about conscious parenting and all yes. this love. And it was beautiful. It was a really beautiful experience dealing with all of this while listening to your program and to Cristiano speak in such a lovely way. So thank you.
And I have to say thank you, because we all know of what you shared, what today was going to be like for you, especially with the holiday and all of that. And you still said yes, and you made it happen. And thank you so much.
Well, it's an honor to be part of this program and to share with you guys. So thank you for all your love and understanding. But yes, music is such a great way to spend a life for me. Because I truly believe that it connects with so many parts of our soul and our cellular memory. And it's not just entertainment, as they say, which it is. I am in the entertainment business, and I love massive concerts. That's, if I would choose one thing to do in my life, would be to play massive. I just came back last weekend from Spain. And it's amazing to connect with the crowd. It is like seducing somebody with your sound. And if you can do that, you're doing a successful show. It's when you talk with somebody which you don't know and you connect, and there's an amazing conversation. It's at a deep level that you walk up in another person that came in the room. I don't know if that makes sense to you.
It does. And but before you go concert, on, when you say crowd, please share with the audience what you mean.
Well, the biggest crowd that I've played is like 230,000 people, I think.
Wow.
And from there on, like 100,000 people. There have been, I don't know, like 40-something concerts, and 80,000, it's been perhaps more. But it's been a long time playing big crowds. And then I go into a nightclub that has 15 people and I freak out.
Oh, I hate wow.
But it makes sense because, you know, for me, the worst thing about being a musician was to go into a room with a jury. And these guys just, I was hearing something that Cristiano was saying, just wanting to judge. You know, it's okay, you're doing a great job or not, depending on your, but Einstein was a stupid boy in the room, or that's what they say, that he was not seen as a very stupid. All these big hits in history, they've been very badly judged. No, Bohemian Rhapsody, they didn't want to sign it, and Stairways to Heaven. So you cannot be honest to your work if you're trying to be agreeable by the jury. It never makes sense to me. And I don't know, small crowds, by some reason, it seems more judgmentally, if that makes sense or not. And it depends, because if you play for a nice ritual or a ceremony or to heal up people, is different, because they're in for the experience, not for the ego judgment of things.
You know, you said that I want to get into the first song, and you said that your mother did not freak out when you started to do music because she was an artist, but some people freaked out when you started to do pre-Hispanica electronica. And so tell us what that is. Tell us why they freaked out and why they're not freaking out anymore. And then we're going to get to hear some, right?
When I say that I'm an electronic music artist, but people nowadays tend to think that electronic music is this punches, 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 how techno, which I love and I've played for a long time. But there is way more. It's like saying classical music is just opera. So do you like classical music? No, I hate classical music. Why? These girls standing there and scream, you don't like opera. But there is so much more. And there's people doing beautiful music and smart things. So I love electronic equipment and synthesizers and computers and loopers and all this world. But also I have a huge collection of ancient instruments and contemporary, because I also play guitar and different things, drum sets. But I have a huge collection of aerófonos. I don't know how to say it in English, which ocarinas and tlapitzalis, as Mexicans used to call them, which are these air instruments made out of clay and wood and perhaps copper or different metals. And when you combine all these elements and all these vibrations, I think you get something very interesting to connect with people. Because we are in this era where electronic music is in our system. We hear it everywhere. It doesn't matter if it's pop or whatever. That's a sonority that our body recognizes. But on the other hand, our body also reminds a lot of generations of our pasts. And when they hear this sonority, something moves very deeply. It connects us. It roots us, our soul back. It's very interesting.
So we're going to get to hear something that you've done with, actually, so people were not, they didn't think that the pre-Hispanica worked with the electronica at first, right?
Well, at the beginning, people in electronic music were laughing, like, why is this guy coming out with 10 or 20 dancers and trying to make this? And for me, it makes sense because I love it. And one of the things that I love most is to play music that doesn't make sense.
Mm.
It can say something to you or not, but I studied in a very regular way, with music has to have a introduction and a chorus and a verse, but just go in there and try to connect with people and go with the flow. It was amazing. And that's where huge concerts started to happen for me. That's where big invitations started to happen. I remember the first Zócalo Capitalino, and it was 10 dates in playing for 80,000 people, which I was so psyched because that was my dream.
Wow.
And yeah, wait, what's the first song you're playing? Let me tell you a little bit about of that song.
Well,
play Ritual?
We will, and that'll be, we plan on making that the second song. We thought maybe Llorona would be first.
Ah, Llorona. Well, Llorona is part of Hispanic Electronica. So at the beginning, I was DJing and I was playing another concepts. And some days I was coming by myself to play a big concert. And other days I was coming with 20 people on stage. So people didn't know and they were very confused at that time. My music was a lot in Mexican radio and people tend to follow me a little bit because they were hearing what I was doing. And I just needed some clarity for them to know, okay, now he's playing dancers and now he's playing house or techno and electronic music. And yeah, Prehispanic Electronic, I think, is a name that describes very well what's going to happen. It's a fusion between ancient, sacred, mystical world and contemporary world. And this song is by a very, very, very dear friend of mine, Tonana, recorded the vocals. Perhaps the most important singer that sings in native tongues. And it's in Zapoteco, which is a dialect from Oaxaca. That's a combination. Alex Otaola, one of my very, 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 very favorite guitar players. He used to play in a group called Santa Sabina in Mexico, played the last guitars. And it's just a trip around our Mexican culture. And I think it represents the Hispanic Electronica very well.
Well, this is a very powerful piece. It's about 6 minutes, and we have we're going to get to share 3 minutes of it. So here is Llorona, and this is our guest, our performance guest, Alyosha Barreiro, on the Life Changer Show, pre-recorded.
Alyosha, thank you for letting us share that. And unfortunately, we only got to share a part of it, but we definitely get the flavor. I want to let everybody know, Alyosha Barreiro. Am I saying that correctly?
Barreiro.
Barreiro.
Barreiro. Yeah, I'm going to put you some Spanish R exercises.
Barreiro. So let me spell
so
that.
So when we see a beautiful woman coming by, you say,
okay, so Barreiro.
We're going to give you that exercise.
So Alyosha is A-L-Y-O-S-H-A, and Barreiro is B-A-R-R-E-I-R-O. Put that together, and you have
Alyosha
his website.
Barreiro.
You have his website and his Instagram page. He's all over the
Spotify,
socials.
Spotify, yeah.
Yeah, Spotify, YouTube, he's all over the place. So go check that out. We'll need to put your Spotify link actually on the website. So if you'll get
Thank
that
you.
To us, we'll do that. So you do more than just the music. Obviously, you're working your magic through energy and all that. But interestingly enough, like Cristiano, who seems like all of the things that he has done are leading him to this next thing, which is the app. You too have been doing music since you were very little and doing it in different ways and interesting ways, bringing in the heritage and also new technology. And you talk about your all of this, in a sense, is the confidence of competence loop. Tell us what that is and how it applies in your life.
Well, the confidence-competence loop is a psychological concept that describes the positive feedback, that a cycle of competence and confidence does. So basically, you see something and then you want to do it. Something caught your attention, you want to do it. For example, play guitar. And then you grab the guitar and something happens that you find something and you get excited. So you want to do it more. And then as you want to do more, you want to learn more. So you learn more and then you want to play more. And then you want to play more and then suddenly you start being better and better and better and better and more passionate about it. This concept started when I was giving conferences. I was giving conference, last conference was before pandemic. It was a tour that it was starting and shamefully it got canceled.
Mm.
But it was a 12,000 people conference that I give to the new leaders of Mexico. And I truly believe that the only way human being can evolve, humanity can evolve, is we start to feel passionate about life and go to a work that actually fills up our life and our soul and our day. And this concept is very interesting because money will come. I'm sure about it. If you do something that is really filling up your life and you wake up wanting to do this and then you do it better and then you also think that it could be better for society. So if it's good for you and it's good for the rest of people and you are passionate about it, then we have something very interesting going on. So that's the confidence competence loop, and is something that I've talked a lot in my videos, in my master classes, in my conference, where I'm a guest speaker. I think it's a very interesting concept.
I think it's interesting that you have done. I'm looking at this short list of a much larger list of events that you've done, big openings and gatherings and. And in a sense, I didn't know who you were until you were introduced to us. And I thought, how do I not know him? And it's you're in an interesting place in that you can move so many people. And yet at the same time, you can also move around the world and not necessarily be bombarded by energy that you don't need to be bombarded with, right?
I don't know. You know, I've always thought that my career is very special because in a way I am not a very well-known artist, but I've played in very large shows and very important shows for a long time. So my name is known by some people, but in the big masses, I'm not in the pop world. I'm not in the main kind of genre. So I'm very happy with what I do, and life is going its own way. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm very happy staying the stages that I'm offered. And yeah, I'm also doing a lot of breath works and this kind of deep work with a lot of groups, some of them very big groups, some of them not so big groups, but there have been some groups that are being like 500 people, perhaps, where I combine live music with breath works and just, a mind-blowing experience.
And as you mentioned,
transgenerational, I was trying to look for that word in English, but I don't know what, transgenerational? I don't know.
Transgenerational, yes.
Yeah, okay, so transgenerational.
And you're also being father as we speak, so thankfully the children have stayed asleep during the...
Well, I have one in my lap as we speak. Yes, as I was telling you, mother called when they were sleeping and they woke up and, back to zero. So well, my little one is in my lap sleeping beautifully.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, tell us about Ritual and then we can let you go continue to be father. Thank you for this.
Oh, they're so sleeping. Everybody's Ritual. Sleeping. Okay. So if you would see now my photograph, I am hosting two dogs that my sister's dog, she's in India. I have my dog, which is a Xoloitzcuintle, in one lap. I have my kid in the other lap, and I'm very happy. So if you want to continue talking, I have all the time in the world. Ritual came in pandemic.
Well, before you go on, tell us where you actually are right now.
I have two houses. I have a house in Mexico City, and I live currently in Tepoztlán, Morelos, which is a beautiful town going south, going to Cuernavaca. And it's one of these magical towns that they're called in Mexico. And it's a place where a lot of energetic, spiritual people come and live, a lot of artists, between a very beautiful mountain line. And now it's rainy season, which is amazingly beautiful with clouds. And yeah, it's like a story from a movie. It's a beautiful place.
It sounds very beautiful, actually.
Cristiano, yeah, go into internet and put Tepoztlán Morelos, and you can see it. But it's very special.
According to Cristiano, I actually, let's bring Cristiano on for a moment. We never do this, but Cristiano,
is he here? Look, he should come.
Yes, he's
of course.
Here. Cristiano, you have talked about this. This is one of the places where you and your wife really love, right? Cristiano, are you still there?
I think he left.
Oh, no, he looks like he's still there, but that's okay. So
I'm going to call him by phone. Ask him to come back.
He might be taking care of his kids right now.
Wow.
So, wow, what a show. How special this is. So tell us about Ritual, and we'll get to experience part of that one, too. Very powerful.
Well, Ritual was part of... It happened in pandemics. So basically all my concerts got canceled. It was very frustrating to just receive call after call after call of everything was canceled. And I've always loved to do things for museums. The experience of a museum, I love it. I love museums. And I've had the opportunity to make a lot of artworks for museums, where some of them bigger, some of them smaller. And they invited me to make a site-specific. A site-specific, it means that you make an artwork that it has to be attached to a place. The first idea that comes is Madonna putting the cross upwards. Upwards or backwards? Well, the cabeza in the Vatican. It's not the same if she does it in the Vatican that if she does it in Africa, someplace that nobody knows about it. It has a special meaning. So... I got to make a concert in these ruins. You can see the video, actually, if you go into my site. And we made a private concert, which was a ritual in these ruins. We asked everybody to leave, except the people that were recording. And for one night, the pyramids, which had changed their intentional uso, so the... At the beginning, there were sacred places to go and pray and to go and pray and had rituals. Now they're touristical places. So the place changed the the meaning of the pyramids, sorry. And we brought back this spiritual objective one day, one night again. Wow. And it was beautiful, the experience. And then we put lights and sound and everything as if it would be a big concert, but it was something for us. Nobody was invited. And it was perfect because pandemic, nobody could come. And then this was recorded and was a piece of art that went into festivals, it went into museums, it was in a museum in London and in Ecuador and Colombia and Mexico, obviously. And it's amazing how a piece of art can travel and can have different dynamics and objectives. So at the beginning, it was just this experience that happened in a ruin, which it was beautiful for us to have just one night of us playing in costumes and in with music. And it's a live performance, what you're going to hear. And then it went in a tour in different museums. So you could actually experience this ritual. It's so intimate, but at the same time, yeah, it was made for a lot of people, but it was played for us. And yeah, it has these two meanings all the time.
Wow.
It makes sense. I'm sorry. My English is very rusty.
It makes a lot of sense. And how special during that time period, actually, must have been very emotional or very, it just brought out a lot of awareness of so much of life and the meaning behind it, no?
Yeah, and it was a great opportunity to do stuff while the world was just colliding.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
And if you're putting 3 minutes, please forward it like to 2.5 minutes or something
yes,
like that. Because
we
is like
that.
A long introduction.
Well, and sadly, the long introduction is the build, and it's part of the ritual. It's very important. But yes, we've started it halfway through, and so here is Alyosha's.
And the important thing is that this is 100% live. It was just improvisation that happened live. So that's what we play when we make these concerts sometimes.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, here is Alyosha's pre-recorded live ritual. We'll be right back.
You know, now that I was hearing this, what I was trying to capture that day is that if Hispanic people or ancient tribes were today doing the rituals, perhaps they would use technology. So the meaning of music, we have to go back to this sacred place where things make sense and they actually matter to us. And bringing rituals back to life is very important. The Mexicans love rituals. We do rituals for everything in the quotidianity. And it's very important to bring back what's important in life, because we're so filled with social networks and junk food for our soul and for our body and for everything. But rituals brings us back to what's important. And that's what we were trying to do this day, just making a ritual for us and trying to make sense and connect with our souls and with our heritage.
Wow. Well, thank you. It feels like you and Cristiano have brought that back for us as well and made this very special here. Alyosha Barreiro.
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 Yeah, you got it. Barreiro.
Barreiro. So he's on Instagram, Spotify, and alyoshabarriero.com. And I'll spell that Alyosha and Barreiro. Ironically, Alyosha is not a Mexican name, right?
No, Alyosha comes from a Russian book called Los Hermanos Karamazov. The story that was my parents were reading it when I was born, and they loved the name, and it was a nickname at the beginning, and then it stayed.
It stayed and it works, and thank you so much, Alyosha.
But you know, Mexican today is mestizaje, so actually I like that my name is not Mexican, because true Mexicans, yeah, we still have indigenous people, which is beautiful, but most of us are my music is a lot of mestizaje. It's a diffusion of all the cultures, but I feel 100% Mexican, and I love that, because we're a visionary culture as well, and I love that about us.
Well, I look forward to
most mestizos.
More mestizos? Is that mysterious?
No. It's this combination.
Oh, mixed.
Yeah.
Mixed. Okay. Yeah. Wow. Well, I look forward to learning more and having you share more. And I look forward to hopefully getting to see you live or experience you live, more importantly, and what you do and the energy that you create with audiences. More power to you. Thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's and hopefully special. All your audience, if they want to reach out, I'm always available.
And
would love to.
And your music is available all everywhere. Over? It's on, yeah. On
Spotify,
Apple as well?
YouTube, and... Apple, yeah.
Okay, perfect. Alyosha.
Nice to gracias. Talk with you guys. Thank you so much.
Lovely chatting with you, with a big gracias to Alyosha and another gracias to Cristiano.
He never came back.
Cristiano, are you there? Cristiano.
I called him, but he didn't answer.
I am still here.
Ah, he's there.
Of course. I wouldn't miss it.
Lo logramos.
I was getting my own fun. Thank you, Alyosha, for this.
Say something. So, Cristiano, we were talking about the town where Alyosha is right now, which is, I think, yours and your wife's, one of your favorite towns, right?
Yes, it's Tepoztlán. Is, I mean, there's no words. How can you start describing Tepoztlán? But it's just like, you know, it's Ojai is the satellite town, magic town, Pueblo Mágico to Los Angeles. And Tepoztlán, for the U.S. audience, that's the equivalent of the magical Pueblo Mágico for Mexico City, about the same distance.
So, Cristiano, thank you for sharing that. And I know the two of you, and hopefully all of us, will get to connect more. But on our way to connecting more, I heard you and Alyosha speaking in Spanish before the show. And I would love for the audience to get a little bit of that, if the two of you can talk about something nice in Spanish with each other.
But you know, there's something about Mexicans. We tend to be very malhablados. So we will do that today because we're in a very nice show. But if it would be something that we find ourselves just with a mezcal, that would sound terrible. ¿Qué dices, mi Cristiano?
No. Salud y de huevos, ¿eh? De huevos la entrevista.
You see, you see, immediately contigo. Starts. You see, you see. There he goes.
He said that earlier, though.
I told you. That's Mexicans.
He said that earlier. But that's who he is. It brings it in. Go ahead. I'll be quiet for a moment.
Un verdadero, voy a sonar un poco más propio, pero un verdadero placer, Alyosha, conectar contigo en estas ondas sonóricas. Y qué rico escucharte, escuchar tu voz, escuchar tu música, escuchar tu alma. Y con un chingo de ganas de conectar en persona, hermano.
Pues vente a la casa, vente acá, te
a postran. Huevo.
Y a gracias, huevo. Filippo, por organizar esto con tanto amor.
Es gracias, mi, Filippo, gracias, Karina.
Mira, Filippo, si estuvieras acá, eres la onda, cabrón.
Eres la onda, Filippo, a huevo.
So, y Karina, ¿qué te digo?
So, uf. Since we went off script a little bit, I have to ask you, you said something in Spanish that reminded me. What is that phrase in Spanish? No sona sin sona or something like that? Non tona no sin sona. Do you know what I'm
sin
talking
ton
about?
Sin ton ni son? Or yes. Con ton ni son? Con yes. Ton ni son.
Ah, yes. What
one
is
of that? My favorite sayings. It's. I think it's essentially like, I think it's related to, obviously, for me, everything is related to oomph that I like. It's when something has ton y son, it's exactly when somebody says something or a song expresses something that is really capturing something, right? That it's not like the lights are on and nobody's home. It's not like an AI.
It's like without rhyme chatbot. Or reason. It's, I think that's like the translation in English.
Like what?
Exactly.
Without rhyme or reason.
Oh.
And if you heard that.
Yes. Ah, okay.
It means so that something is down without sense or logic.
Got it.
So when something has ton y son, it's in tune. It has tune and soul. It makes sense. It's cohesive.
It's magic.
Yeah.
It's magic. Well, this has been very special. The two of you can continue to connect after the show, but in the meantime, I want to say thank you to both of you, Alyosha and Cristiano, and of course to Karina. And that is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Lejeur, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.